All right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Continuing the Benatar interview conversation done by George somebody. Anyway, Carneyism Debunked channel. Anyway, so he did a very good job, I think, of pushing the subject, so I can't fault that any. And Benatar is just pretty much just wasting people's time arguing that anything important, we can't really do anything because we can't have perfect knowledge of perfect outcomes, and therefore we can't make any decisions, and blah, 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 and it's just kind of pointless. The other argument is an argument about when do you have competence to act on your own, you know, without getting a permit from the town or something. How much evidence do you need of a crime before you decide to tackle somebody or shoot somebody even? These are real things that people have to make these individual decisions about, you know, when they're going to do the right thing, and they're not going to wait until they have a permit to do it. They're going to just do it because it's the right thing to do. And so I've used analogies like sticking a fork in Hitler's eye or something, you know, some act where you don't have a permission slip and, you know, you didn't get approval. You have to use your best judgment and do what you know to be the right thing. And it really depends on what the stakes are, you know, it depends on how much is riding on your decision. And all of that. So it's never going to be a black and white, simple kind of parsing, you know, of all the interests and all the elements. But you just have to point. There's a point where you say, look, I'm rational, I'm sane. Until somebody proves me insane, I'm going to go with what my brain says is the right thing to do. And Benatar doesn't think so, though. He thinks you should acquiesce to the lowest common denominator and wait till they all vote for it. Kind of, basically.
But do we not have good reason to say that it would produce... I mean, it would completely eliminate farming, fishing, torture, and animal abuse.
Think about the practicality of it. I mean, how would you kill all the...
So again, he's just playing this game where he doesn't understand the red button is this silent killer. You know, it's just a perfect extermination mechanism in theory. And, you don't have to, he's like arguing, well, you know, if the trolley question, you know, he's going to make all kinds of conditions. Well, what if the wind's blowing and what if this and what, you know, and it's a bunch of bullshit. It's just evading the question.
Oh, it's just a red button. Like, it's the hypothetical red button. So I press the red button and every human on the planet just vanishes.
I would have preferred he said every sentient being vanishes.
But what are the conditions under which you know all of these things? See, you're not imagining yourself as a human being pressing the button. There's no human being could be competent with those things. You're imagining yourself as a god.
So that's not the truth at all. You're just imagining yourself with, you're the bus driver and you've got to steer the wheel. There's nobody else going to do it. And it's got to be done now. It can't be done later. It's, you know, and this is even more, I guess the argument I would make is that it's even more the kind of thing where you just don't want to miss the opportunity. The red button, you know, just as he's arguing for these qualifications, the red button could disappear. You don't have time to fiddle around. You got this one opportunity, and you got to take it.
So this is a hypothetical scenario for God. It's not a hypothetical.
No, it's a hypothetical measuring your commitment to an idea. And so you either have great confidence that it's better never to have been, as your book says, or you don't have any confidence. Isn't that all it's measuring? Just measuring confidence. I'm completely confident, okay? I mean, I would, whatever the stakes would be, you know, forever torture if I'm wrong. Okay, I would risk forever torture because there's nothing in the theory, okay, that I see any gaps or missing bits. there's no possibility it can't be the better answer.
Scenario for any human being.
We play God every day. So every day, he doesn't show up to go to places, right? You know, but every time you decide to get in your car and drive somewhere, you're playing God. So again, this playing God part doesn't have anything to do with it.
This is exactly the worry that I have. The worry that I have is that...
So he has a worry besides life sucking and being and torturing organisms. He has some other worry that's more pressing. So he has a more pressing worry than sentient torture, you know, that's just wasted. Humans can't do anything productive, purely productive. All they can do is mitigate suffering, and, you know, creating their own bliss is mitigating against their own suffering, so they can accomplish that much. I can be happy and not sad, and therefore I have eliminated a little bit of sad. You know, but I can't undo all the rest of the sad or the torture. And again, that's all this conversation is really about. You're either pro-torture or you're against. And yeah, there's not that much to argue. Now, I put these stupid words on the screen, okay? I mean, too expensive and it's not your money. What else needs to be said, okay? I mean, you can't ethically defend people spending other people's money to buy something that sucks.
People are too optimistic about their own abilities and their own knowledge and their own...
So it's just amazing. Yeah, okay, generally speaking, you could say some religious kook who's never talked to God, never seen any real evidence that exists, and all this other crap, and he's going to decide to do everything that's written in some stupid book 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago. Yeah, that's ludicrous, okay? That's really fucking stupid. But it's not stupid for a decent human being to see torture happening and saying, why should I let that continue? I mean, how can I wake up the next day if I didn't take the opportunity to rescue all of those things being tortured?
I don't understand it. And we've had multiple instances of this over human history, where, for example, there's some kind of a pest, and so humans introduce a predator in order to control the pest. And
there's probably just as many cases, frankly, that no one talks about where it was hugely productive and everybody lived happily ever after. So, again, you can find examples where it didn't work and you can find other examples where it worked just fine.
Use becomes a pest in its own. These are sort of relatively small-scale interventions that people make.
So, and he's kind of pointing out that there's some downside risk somewhere. So if Earth became Mars tomorrow, he thinks there's some possible thing that we missed out on, that something was lost. And so that's exactly saying the opposite of the title of his book. He's saying it's better to have been, because apparently there's some sort of potential to lose something if we don't be. So, you know, he's obviously showing has absolutely no commitment to his own theory. His own theory doesn't mean anything to him.
Okay. And just cause havoc. And humans just don't seem to learn from their own history. They don't seem to learn how bad they are at making these kinds of decisions.
So, again, where's your examples of all the bad decisions? I mean, they're all tough decisions, and somebody's got to make them. You know, whether you do you take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. I mean, there's all kinds of decisions to make. What do you invest in? What don't you invest in? And you're just saying that somehow generically all the decisions ever made were always bad. And no, some of them were good, some of them were bad. And they can be judged individually, and they should be judged based on, well, what was the reasoning? Was there some good reasoning involved?
And so even on consequentialist grounds, there's very good reason for just saying, look, we're not going to press red buttons, because to entrust that decision...
So again, it's like saying not making the decision. What do you mean, entrust it to what? Somehow the decision is more reasonable if you get your mob to agree with you. So as long as I can get the German people to believe the Jews are at fault, I can throw them in concentration camps, and it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. No, it's not perfectly reasonable. So again, this is just horseshit. That somehow it matters whether the how many numbers you have in your mob is somehow defines whether you're right or wrong. Well, that we know doesn't work. What matters is your reasoning and your purpose and your motivation and your intent. And if you're some fanatic mullah loving person who just grew up brainwashed into thinking these fables are reality. I mean, if you believe in Santa Claus, I mean, we should write you right off the list of making any decisions for yourself at all, because you're a moron.
Any human being is deeply unfounded.
Deeply something, yeah. So he just keeps saying that somehow our reasoning skills fail, and yet he wrote a book attempting to reason with people. I mean, what's the point? Just doesn't make any sense.
No human being is going to have the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to make that decision and to press that button.
All right, so it just doesn't make any sense. Of course, one human being has to do it, and then 2 or 5 or 20 or 600 or 6 billion or 7 billion or 20 billion. It doesn't matter how many there are. All that matters is the reasoning sound. Your book is arguing the reasoning is sound. You can't find a flaw in the reasoning, and yet you're sitting here saying somehow there's a flaw in my reasoning. You can't articulate the flaw in your reasoning, but you're going to tell us, no, don't believe what I wrote in the book. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that this is a more reasonable way to look at reality. No, this isn't more reasonable. He's basically saying, forget it. It's not more reasonable. You can't judge. You cannot judge ideas. You cannot judge concepts. You cannot judge decisions. You cannot judge anything, because somehow your brain just can't work. And this is a guy who wrote a book trying to persuade people of an idea. I mean, I mean, it's just such weaselly. I mean, he's too smart to make such a bad argument. So it just does point out that, I mean, I hate to say it. It's just he's never been in this game with any flesh. This isn't a real subject to him. This is just an academic wordplay. All right? As soon as it becomes serious, then all of a sudden he doesn't want any part of the conversation when it's serious. What do you mean? You're going to take me seriously? Fuck. I didn't think you were taking it seriously.
So, what you're essentially saying is, let's say, I mean, for example, obviously, one thing that obviously we don't need to be God, so to speak, to know is that humans are the only species that farms animals, right? So, obviously, I would know that it would eliminate animal farming in that regard instantly. But
ants technically farm aphids, and termites farm bacteria or fungus,
Are you saying that there is a chance that by me pressing this red button and just wiping out the human race, just like the click of a finger like that, maybe something worse could happen and I'm being overconfident in my abilities to judge that it wouldn't? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he apparently is saying that he can imagine there must be some possibility that you're wrong, even though it all seems like you're perfectly right. You can't make the decision because, we can't, no perfect, we don't have a perfect crystal ball of the perfect outcome deducer, so therefore nobody can do anything ever, especially if somebody's welfare is at stake. Nope, can't do anything.
Yeah, you might think that pressing that button will eliminate all humans, and it doesn't.
So, again, I mean, what a silly qualification. I mean, it's just, the bomb didn't work, so blah, 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 blah. That's not the question. You've got to make the decision. I mean, I like dropping the bomb. It's a serious decision. Now, I think they made the decision poorly to blow up people, civilians. That was very tacky. There's so many ways they could have done it to make the point clear that we have the mega power. And instead, they decided to do it the kind of nastiest way possible, frankly. But it's a real decision. Somebody's got to make it. You don't make it, then you don't, there's just no point in existing if you're not going to use your brain and make decisions. So that's what it's there for, to make decisions. And the only argument is if you've been thoughtful and careful and diligent to make sure there's just no possibility that you are truly doing something that's where there's a possibility of a worse outcome.
Oh, let's just say, for the sake of the hypothetical, that it does. Let's just say that is what happens.
But that's the question that the human faces, as to whether they know they're in that situation or not.
It's been tested over and over. The button works, okay? It's been tested a billion times. Yes, and it always works. Oh, it's just terrible.
For a human being, you face with this decision. One thing you've got to factor in is, I'm a human being. So how do I know that pressing this red button is going to have that consequence? Did somebody tell me that? Did I wire this?
Yeah, it's written right on the button. So it's just too silly. Yeah, you're making a decision about doing something that has pretty logical parameters. So you have no reason to believe it's a fake button. You have no reason to believe it's the button that, really just opens a jack-in-the-box and he pops out and laughs, goes, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you have no reason to believe it releases anthrax. You have no reason to believe any of this nonsense, okay? You have to make this decision based on the information you have. And, to sit there and say, well, maybe, again, if you're going to argue things like, well, maybe my gas tank has a little hole in it, it's going to leak gas in the parking lot, and some mother and her three kids are going to get burned to death, okay, from my leaky gas tank, so I won't go to the store today. I mean, yeah, you could do that shit all day.
Stop myself in some way? How do I know that?
Oh, no, it's obviously not a real scenario that has any kind of... it's just for the sake of the hypothetical.
Well, no, I mean, it is a real scenario in the sense that you could argue that the human race could whittle itself down to a few people left, and ultimately this is the decision you're going to make, okay? And it's the last days, and somebody's got to hit the sanitize, It could be like an ultraviolet light in a surgery room, and you're going to turn on the ultraviolet light, and it's going to kill everything in the room, all the microbes. It's that kind of a button.
Ethical. We do know for a fact, like it's just that is the it that's in the hypothetical already. So it's not something
You also know for a fact that you're a human, and when you know for a fact that you're a human, you know that you're fallible. You know that you could be getting it wrong.
All right, so I was saying I could be getting everything wrong then, every day everything wrong. But there's no evidence I'm every day getting everything wrong. There's every evidence that I don't stick a fork in my eye and all this other stuff. I don't do a bunch of irrational things. So it seems like I'm pretty good at navigating. So, I mean, how good a navigator of one's life does one have to be before they can have some sort of confidence in their capacity to know whether they can walk through a tree or not? And again, this is a rescue mission. There's victims to save, okay? You basically got a big bucket of morphine, and you got a bunch of suffering people, and you're saying, well, I can't give them the morphine because I can't be sure it's morphine, or I can't be sure I can inject it without doing it wrong, or some other kind of bullshit. I mean, it's just such a nonsense evasion.
And one of the things you could be getting wrong is whether pushing the button is going to have precisely the effect that you think it's going to have.
Okay, let me adjust the hypothetical and let me say that you are now Lord Benatar, the superhuman, and you just do possess this insane knowledge that pressing this red button would be a net good because... it's going to end the mass murder, the massacre of these trillions of animals every single year. You're not a human. You are now
All right. I don't know about saying the superhuman part. You just should say that somehow you have proven yourself to have an IQ many hundreds of times more powerful than any other human. You have greater stores of knowledge in your capacity to solve puzzles and queries and questions. Is unchallenged by any other human. I mean, just give them any kind of word problem with 17 people in it, and they're all facing left in the subway, and then somebody walks in facing right and has 50 cents in their pocket. And, I mean, no matter how convoluted the word problem, you can get the right answer. And so, what are you supposed to do? Oh, you're going to ask everybody else what they think. So you know the answer, right? Giving you the question, should you or shouldn't you say, oh, yeah, of course you should hit the button. Yes, no doubt about it. And now you should ask everybody. No. No. Too silly. I mean, why would you dilute your judgment with their bad judgment?
Superhuman, in this hypothetical, who has godlike powers, would there now be a problem with pressing this red button and wiping out the human race?
You know, when you say superhuman and godlike, are you willing to go all the way and say, have all the attributes of God?
Who cares? Let's just say it's going to be on you, fucker. Okay, the button's only 60 seconds. You got 60 seconds, and then the button disappears. It's on you. Do you rescue the fucking victims, or do you sit there and pick your fucking nose and talk about some abstraction about, I can't figure out what kind of decision I'm supposed to make. I have to go ask some imbecile and get his opinion. I'll go ask an imbecile if he thinks I'm crazy. I'll go ask some God botherer, you know, whether he thinks I'm a sinner. You know, fuck. It's too ridiculous.
And some intermediate space.
I mean, look, this is, you know, this is the lifeboat. You have the gun, okay? There's 25 people on the lifeboat and they're all selfish motherfuckers. If you don't decide to make certain decisions, everybody drowns. All right, and so the plan is I got to do the best I can with this circumstance to create the less shark food as I can. And so you make decisions. And you know it's the only way it can happen. Either you make them or the fucking goddamn janitor makes them or the fucktard over here or the rich guy over here or some other person over there makes the decision. Somebody makes it. All right, and their judgment, you goddamn well know, isn't going to be in the best interest of the goddamn boat. It's going to be in their best interest. Oh, shit. I mean, the simple truth is the person pressing the red button doesn't get anything out of it, right? They don't get anything. They get red buttoned too.
So you're not infallible. You're not omniscient. You're not omnibenevolent. What are the conditions here? What?
Yeah.
Because if you fall,
all you can say is you're not as dumb as that guy. That's all you need to say is well, I'm obviously not as insane as the Ayatollah. Oh, come on, this is too silly.
Fall short of divine infallibility, then the problem would persist.
Yeah.
All right, so look, he's made it clear, all right? If it was on him, if it was his job, if he had the gun, if he had the button, all right, he would fuck the victims. Fuck them. Fuck all that better never to have been shit. Fuck the future. Fuck every one of those organisms that is going to be eaten alive for the next whatever amount of time this stupid planet has to grow this bacterial torture, all right? And you're just saying, okay. So it's on him. I mean, he would be the greatest mass murderer in the history of humankind. He would be the greatest, biggest causer of suffering ever known because he had the ability to stop it and he didn't. Guilty. Motherfucker guilty. You might as well be telling me how he wishes to, you know, all of this crap about, you know, this is an upside down argument. I mean, the argument isn't that you're trying to save lives, you're trying to prevent them. And the only way you can do it is this way. It is the only option that's available, that ever will be available, that ever will be constructed. It's the only way you can do this thing, okay, is completely. You can't do it halfway. Shit. You either rescue or you just torture.
Okay, well, look,
I suppose you could argue that if you just felt very little short of the divine qualities, but you then at least are very much approaching the God scenario of pushing the button. And so I'm not sure how much that helps.
Yeah, the only part that helps is realizing that, okay, if I don't press the button, then I might as well be the person who's going to inject all the future kids with cancer. I might as well be the person who's going to smash all the humans in the earthquake and they have to eat their arms off and all the shit. I might be the one injecting all that pain on them. I might as well be the torturer. I might as well be Dr. Mangala. I might as well be the motherfucker who makes all that price be paid. That's the simple truth, Mr. Benatar, is that you're guilty.
I mean, you're either a human now, or you're, if not God, then very, very close to God. But the God dilemma is not a dilemma that any one of us faces.
Now,
of course, we face it every fucking day. Every day, you're going to make decisions and choices and do things that are going to change other people's lives. And in some cases, you're literally going to kill people. Just a fact. You won't know about it, but you did it.
Is there, you said you would see no, obviously, problem with human extinction. Did I pick that up earlier that you said earlier in the podcast, or did I get that wrong?
With the state of human extinction, I don't think there'd be anything problematic, no. Anything bad. I think there could be something wrong with how humans become extinct.
Right, so they do it on purpose because they have empathy and a reasoning brain. That would be wrong. But if it happens accidentally, it's okay. That would be sweller. It'd be sweller if the universe does it for us and then we don't have to take any responsibility. Oh, isn't that just too cop-outy? So he's basically admitting, no, I can't see any possible downside to rescuing these tortured victims, saving all the people who didn't ask to be here and were just tortured while they were here. You know, the 10,000, you know, times whatever the number of sea turtles is, 10,000 times whatever the number of sea turtles is, little turtles that will be pecked and consumed alive and dissolved in acid and all the horrible ways they're going to be killed. So you just, all of that misery and suffering and torture, you're going to prevent, and you're going to, you know, you're sitting here playing this game telling me there, you can't see any downside to preventing it. You don't lose anything by preventing it, and yet you're going to not prevent it. yeah, sorry. That's irrational. So now we can even call Mr. Benatar irrational. That's just fucking irrational. You can't conceive of a downside risk, and yet you're going to allow gazillions, googleplexes of sentient beings be tortured for no benefit, no upside.
Right. So for you as a vegan who is lowering your environmental impact with that regard.
Did he say he was a vegan? I haven't even heard that part yet.
Like, because this is something that I've kind of struggled with cognitive dissonance with over the years, because as an antinatalist, you know, I've watched the... Have you seen Cowspiracy, the documentary?
I'm not sure whether I have. I've certainly heard of it, but I'm not sure I've seen it.
Because, you know, I watched this when it came out years ago. I think it came out in about 2016 or something like that. And I watched it and it was like, wow, you know, this is very inspiring. And I'm so glad I'm vegan. And look at all this brilliant stuff like that, how I'm helping the environment and stuff like that. But the cognitive dissonance has arisen since then, because it's like, well, hold on, I'm an antinatalist. Why do I care about extinction? Why do I care about, oh, we're saving humanity and we're saving the animals in the rainforest and you know, the fish in the ocean and all this?
Well, yeah, why don't you just say that's buffalo conspiracy? You know, I mean, you could just write up a different conspiracy against every living organism on this planet. And the conspiracy is you die to feed another generation for no real purpose. To do some kind of evolving to become a more effective parasite. And the definition of effective parasite just keeps changing, so you have to keep changing to modify your function to the new rules of being a good parasite. I mean, it is insidiously horrid.
Kind of stuff. do you think that I'm right to feel some kind of cognitive dissonance over this, or do you think that my morals are in alignment as a vegan who is lowering my environmental destruction massively just by being vegan, and as an antinatalist and an ethicist who just doesn't want life to exist on this planet?
I think there is often a sentimentality that intrudes, not only with regard to the extinction of our own species, but with regard to the extinction of some other species. So
he's conceding it's all just mushy emotional bullshit based on some narrative that somehow none of us want any story to be left unfinished, and somehow the story's unfinished if we don't go to some singularity or something. You know, there's some big party we're going to go to or something, and so we can't stop the story now because we haven't gone to the big party. We don't have the big party in the story yet, or some kind of crap like that. And the story has been clear for millions of years. The story is die. Like, you don't really live, right? You struggle and die. What the fuck?
I find it sad that certain animals either have gone extinct or that they are going extinct. But we need that. I think is often just sentimentality.
Yes, it's just sentimentality. Obviously, you can't make a rational argument. Nobody has shed a tear, right? So we got millions of kids dying of all kinds of terrible diseases and, you know, horrible, horrible suffering, torment, torture, right? And then you got lots of old people dying in nursing homes, horrible, horrible, torture. You got all kinds of disabled, you got all kinds of shit. It's all kinds of ugly, ugly, horrible diseases, ailments, just horrible, 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 all right? And you're going to do some bullshit about how Mars is a terrible place because there's no humans there, right? So you have all that terrible stuff, and you know people have cried over all that crap. They haven't shed one fucking tear. There's not a human tear anywhere, right? In the whole of human history, do you think there's actually one human tear that ever rolled down a cheek? You know, a little tear form, and it rolled down their cheek because there's no fucking goddamn alligators on Mars? It's never happened, okay? Now, I could go a little further away. I could say Saturn or Pluto, all right? There's nobody, all that wasted territory, thousands and millions of acres of perfectly good walking space, and there's nothing walking on it. Not a single tear. So just think of all the grief, you know, just all the Civil War dead, not the dying, plus all the widows, plus all the orphans, and all the grief, right? Yeah, come on. And no one's even shed a single tear at the thought of the non-existence of the Martians. Their entire civilization, their entire future, all the parties they've missed, all the great parties they would have gone to, all of it. Oh, what a horrible, horrible tragedy. They were annihilated by non-existing. Bullshit. So yeah, so all this is like a nepotism conversation. My kids are better than your kids. Earthlings are so much more superior than whatever Martians would have been. The Martians would have sucked.
But if you understand it entirely, I think the world is less rich if we have less biodiversity. So is that consideration?
No, just say it's more peaceful. This idea of keeping the environment a little bit stable is just like keeping your radioactive isotope stable. You know, if you had a bottle of uranium, you wouldn't want to stir it up, right? You don't want to put it on the stove. You just leave it alone. Let it just, you know, keep it quiet and settled, okay? So that's my opinion about the nature thing. Don't fuck it up, because any stirring causes all kinds of these animals to do all these wacky shit, like lemmings running into fucking goddamn volcanoes and shit. So, yeah, don't do that. Until we blow it up. It's hard to fiddle with nature in some sort of let's fix it way.
I think largely a sentimental one, but I don't think it's misplaced to worry about how animals are being extinct. I think once they are extinct, there's a certain silver lining there. You know, it's
not just a silver lining. I mean, come on, it's the whole point of your book. It's the rescue. They have been spared this pointless torture. They're not being pointlessly tortured anymore. That's a huge win. That's that silver lining. That's the gold you're after. Stop the torture. Stop the torture. Come on. That's the goal. That's you know, that's a double field goal.
Good that there are no more members of that species. Good for beings of, or potential beings of that species, that there are no more of them.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think that we should engage in this de-extinction where some people want to try and bring animals back from extinction through various genetic means. I'd be opposed to that. Why?
What's the difference? I mean, just frankly, what's the difference? What's the difference whether you give birth to a cow or you give birth to a woolly mammoth? So don't play this game that makes any difference, that's going to create any evolution, any imbalances anywhere in the system. I mean, frankly, if you could make one mammoth and it would displace the existence of a million rats, well, that would be a fair bargain.
More beings that will suffer, but I am concerned about animals suffering on the way to extinction. And again, I think we're very poor calculators of what's going to produce better or less bad consequences.
I think we're the only calculators in town. So again, let's not calculate. Let's just put a rock on the table and just let the rock make the decisions. Okay, you do it, rock, because we are incompetent. We have 100 billion brain cells. Wow, we can't do anything with them, though. So you decide, Mr. Rock. So it's all in your hands there, Mr. Rock. You fix it. It's just so bad. God, cop-out weasel.
And so we should be doing the actions that on the face of it are good, and that on the face of it are non-harmful, without getting too distracted by these long and convoluted and highly contentious causal explanations.
Whatever all that is. Yes. Obviously, I don't see any point in talking about all this nuanced crap about modifying this and changing this and doing this little tweaking. That somehow, you know, if we put one of these shiny band-aids, it'll be much better. Now, let's fuck the whole band-aid crap. Go 100% cure.
Right. So I guess this could be called in philosophy. I just want to check that this is what you're applying here. So a lot of the stuff that you've espoused during this podcast. Would a lot of your thinking come from what's called the principle of uncertainty, or the precautionary principle? So the idea that
I never even heard of this, so whatever. But they have one of these things for everything. So they have some technical word for every way to evade a subject. The argument from I don't want to give an answer. The argument from I'll embarrass myself if I answer. The argument from, just endless list of ways to evade answering honest questions honestly.
We're poor evaluators of what could happen, so we best err on the side of caution instead of arrogantly believing that we have.
And what would caution be? I mean, the point is should we leave a DNA molecule in control, or should we take control? That's the question. Who's more competent to decide the fate of living organisms on Earth, a DNA molecule or us? So is there any real competition here? The DNA molecule does not have a brain, okay? It just doesn't. It can't think, it can't reason, it can't evaluate, it doesn't even know what a feeling is, and yet we should let it decide. No, because we're incompetent. Fuck.
All the answers in this would do this. The precautionary principle here would just be to say, look, that we should just not procreate, because we simply can't judge just how, creating a human life would essentially be a reckless gamble in this instance.
I don't even. So this is purely some anti-natalist thing. So again, he's sort of leaving his effulist tendencies and now drifting into this some sort of anti-natalist thing is the more pressing intellectual argument. I would argue the more pressing intellectual argument is get people to understand that what's happening to the other sentient creatures on this planet is real. It's not just some sort of made out of paper. They're not their consciousness isn't made out of paper or something. It's not some kind of fake suffering or fake torture. Now, I think these people should be able to understand this because all these people that have pets, they have to be able to appreciate that those animals have good days and bad days. And if they've seen any of them dying, they certainly know that those are bad days, that these animals do suffer. And how can you possibly not recognize the weight of that, the tremendous value of that suffering, and that it shouldn't be trivially wasted, that you have to prove you're doing something of such merit to have earned the right to say we must exist at that price. Again, too expensive, not your fucking money.
Well, it depends how you understand the precautionary principle and the idea of erring on the side of caution. I do think that probabilities count.
I'm erring on the side of saving the victims. Oh, God damn. I mean, this is like going in with grenades or something and there's a kidnapping, you know. And well, so what? We'll just blow up the kidnappers and, well, you know, it doesn't matter if the people kidnapped are dead, right? Too stupid.
And so there could be circumstances in which you can't be 100% sure of something, but you should proceed anyway because not proceeding has very certain costs.
There you go. So why isn't that reasoning you just applied there go for the red button? Not pressing it has real cost. There's no doubt about what will happen. Okay, you really can't really hope that, well, an asteroid's going to hit the planet in 3 weeks and that'll take care of it for me so I don't have to press the button. What excuses are you going to use to explain away the fact that you, with willful knowledge, all right, just sat there and said, I'm not gonna do what I know the probabilities say is gonna happen. And there's gonna be a ton of torture tomorrow and it's all my creation. And there ain't no party we're going to.
Then low chance of a bad outcome. So I think there are circumstances that kind. I just don't think that's what we're dealing with in this kind of scenario.
I mean, look, I've used this simple analogy, but yes, it's like you're what are we exchanging here? You're deciding to go to Disneyland. The deal is that one of you, okay, is sick, okay, and he has to be dragged along, and it's going to make him horribly miserable. You're going to be bouncing around. It's going to be just awful. It's horrible, horrible pain and suffering. Do you still go? Or do you rationally say, no, I'm going to err on the side of less pain and suffering. I really don't need Disneyland. I can, it's not worth it. Too expensive. And you assholes wouldn't think so? I mean, anybody in this audience, you're really so fucking sadistically, evilly selfish that you would say, I don't care if I torture somebody else to get what I want? God damn. I mean, obviously, a lot of you do think that way because you think all the paper animals don't feel anything. All the ones you torture for your comfort.
Aria. Okay. I mean, here's another analogy I've not presented. Let's imagine somebody in a more religiously intolerant period or place who believes they need to exit.
So we know that means ignorant. So it's an ignorant, more ignorant time, right? We're way past being ignorant, all right? We really are. We've grown up a lot, all right? We're doing all this quantum crap now, right? Just another religion. But anyway, so let's not compare a time when they didn't even know what a microbe was and they didn't know this. Why make comparisons to people's poor judgment in circumstances where they had so little information? It's just really unfair, okay, to judge those lunatics because they had a good reason to be stupid. They were ignorant. We're not ignorant anymore. We've got the facts.
Cute heretics in order to prevent those heretics from burning in hell for the rest of eternity. Let's imagine they've got some worldview whereby you can burn somebody here on earth and then they'll...
Yeah, better red than dead, or better dead than red, right? Yeah, that's the one. So lots of people have stupid ideas in their head, and in some cases it's absolutely true. I'd rather, if I was to become a Republican, okay, because of some kind of brain damage, I would prefer you kill me. That's, now I don't want to become a Democrat either, okay? I mean, I'll still say there's a dime's worth of difference, but it's a really thin, worn out dime. So I don't know what to say to that anymore. Because unfortunately the alternative is just turned into the exact opposite of what it was.
We spared hell in the world to come. And so you engage in some kind of weird religious consequentialist argument whereby you're inflicting mass suffering on people now with a purported utilitarian goal of producing less bad in the long run. I'm just saying, you've got no entitlement to make that decision. It rests on highly contentious premises.
But who's going to make it if you don't? Again, you're going to just let the rock make it. Oh, I'll just let the DNA make it. I'll just sit back and watch it happen. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That's not one of your options. Your option isn't my decision has no effect. No, the option is your decision will decide. that's the truth of it. You're deciding, and you either decide well or you decide poorly. But walking away is deciding. It's saying, no, I'm not going to do anything, okay? That means you're not going to do the thing you could have done, and it's your fault now.
With which many people would reasonably disagree, and just leave it be. It's not your business. You do what you meant to do, and if this other person burns in hell as a result, that's their business, not yours. And I simply think that there's a limit to our authority over the world.
So again, he thinks that his book is basically just a religious book spouting some kind of wacky theory that animals can feel and people suffer or something. Some idea that they suffer and it's a bad thing. He's just defeating his own argument. It's just, how do I tell the difference between your book and their book about heathens and the need to prevent them from torturing themselves? And how do I tell the difference? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're basically telling me I can't tell the difference. Even though your book is going to have something called logic in it, and their book is going to have some crap about God says so.
We don't have God-like attributes. Deeply flawed.
Again, what would the godlike attribute be? I create shit and I don't take any responsibility for it. I blame the children for the crimes of their parents. what are these attributes that this god has? It's a sadistic motherfucker. That could be the only thing you'd call it.
Flawed, fallible beings. And there is therefore a limitation on what we are obliged to do.
Compared to a DNA molecule's fallible intelligence, I'm about as perfect as it comes. All right. I mean, it's just ridiculous for him to sit there and pretend that no decision is giving the decision to somebody better than him. So by not making a decision, he gave the decision to some much better decider. No, you didn't. You gave it to nothing. You gave it to something that doesn't have a brain, for fuck's sake. So you decided to give the gun, you're on the lifeboat, you decide to give the gun to a dead fish. Here, dead fish, you decide. And that's rational. That's some sort of explanation about the right thing to do is to just walk away. Pretend you're just one of the civilians. I'll just sit in my chair and wait till the fish decides. So here's the gunfish. You decide. I'll just sit here in my chair. Okay. You make the decisions. Fuck. Too ridiculous.
Not do. As a result of that, And so you don't go around murdering people, and you don't go around murdering animals, and you don't go around...
Yes, you do. You do. Every day you do all of this stuff, okay? Whether it's accidentally or not, just the fact that it happens every day... We murder somebody just by being in a country. You end up paying for a military. It goes out and murders people. I mean, this shit happens every day. Subways run over people. This runs over people. Your traffic runs over people. Everything every day kills people. So quit pretending you don't have any blood on your hands.
Clearing rainforests, all of which are harmful on the face of it, because you've got some account that in the long run this will do less harm.
Probably, maybe I've already kind of asked this question, but let's say you just hypothetically did know, what would be the problem with clearing rainforest then if you just said, you know, I do know for a fact, that's in the hypothetical, that...
You have a...
Yeah, well, what? It is a physics question in a way, right? So you're just arguing about thermodynamics. And so you say, well, if you cut down the rainforest and you replant grass or some other crap, it'll still take care of the biosphere part. It'll also still sink some carbon. So it'll do all these things that are beneficial, okay? And what it won't do is support a bunch of other living things. You know? So that's the upside. There won't be a bunch of other animals feeding off of that energy.
Yes. You might need to remind me what you said again, just because I can't remember kind of what...
Because
what,
now you're no longer imagining a hypothetical example for a human being, because no human being is going to be justified in thinking that.
I don't even know what that even means. No human being is going to be justified in recognizing some thermodynamic truth that if you allow the heat to escape our atmosphere directly instead of getting stuck in a bunch of vegetation, the less time the heat is on the planet's surface, the less living things can live in the heat. It's sort of, that's the simple argument. So the more reflective you make the planet, the less likely things are going to live on it. So you could make a pretty solid argument, I think. But regardless, this is the nitpicky little distraction kind of subject. So again, we know that this bigger picture stuff, there's a lot more at stake than a rainforest. There's, you know, the destiny of every feeling thing, okay, that will be obliged to exist in a potential future.
Now,
you're imagining a hypothetical example for God. And yeah. I would just say, okay, well, if there is a God and he's in that situation, then let him decide.
Right. So how are we not God? I mean, how are we, by any relative standards, the most intelligent thing on the planet? Now, I would say let's voluntarily abdicate if we know there's something smarter than us. So if you can make something that's smarter than us, an AI ain't going to do it, right? Because an AI doesn't even know what a feeling is. It's never sampled one. So how could it tell you what a feeling's worth? So you're stuck. Until there's some other intelligence that has knowledge of feelings and what they're worth, we're the only thing that can make the decisions. There's nothing else to make it except a DNA molecule or a rock or a volcano. Why would I give the decision to a bunch of geological phenomena?
But no human being is going to be in a condition where they can be supremely confident with justification of their own fallibility.
All right, sorry. Interruption. This whole thing about not making the decision as if there's something else that could make the decision. There's nothing else that'll make the decision. A comet, all these other things can happen. In the end, right, if we don't do this graceful exit thing, that is, if we don't control the existence of this last generation, they're all going to be murdered in some horrible way by the universe. The universe is going to send a killer comet. Or a bunch of irradiation is going to fly out of some supernova somewhere and end up hitting us, okay, the surface of the Earth, and, you know, half the people on Earth will be blind, and this will happen and that will happen, and it'll be some great horror. All of that's inevitable if we don't do anything to change it. Nature's not going to let you live. It's not going to keep the human race here, okay? It's going to turn the Earth into a cinder. All right. It's going to evaporate every bit of, every remnant will be destroyed. So what's, it's a moot point. You're just saving that, you're doing the horror gracefully instead of doing it badly. So why wouldn't you choose graceful over bad? Why, this is like almost arguing about, you know, taking control of your death. You know, what rational person would say, hands off, no, let the bacteria decide. We're too stupid. We can't trust our judgment. No. Let the bacteria decide how you die. I mean, too stupid.
That you've talked about throughout this whole podcast has been a kind of perspective that I haven't seen that much used before, and that's just how poor judges are of everything that humans are. In Better Never To Have Been, you mention even that we're poor judges of our own lives, because that's one argument as well that nativists use. They might say, for example, if someone just does say, well, I love my life and I just adore my existence, like, what is there that you could say is...
It's not about you. I mean, it's not a single player game. So I guess I could add that up here somewhere. Not a single player game. Too expensive. Not your money. Okay, maybe I'll add that. Not a single player game. It's not a single player game. You got to take responsibility for all of it. All of it or none of it. You can't play this game. You know, that... all of that other stuff isn't part of the price I cost. No, it's all part of the price you cost. We all cost the drunk drivers. We all cost the paralyzed kids from that. We all cost all of this stuff because it's all the price you pay to have whatever it is we have. All our technology comes at a price. You have to kill people to have your conveniences. It's just a fact. There's people right now going to, maybe going to die in a potato chip factory. I mean, my father was almost killed in a chemical explosion at a chemical plant. This is a reality. Sheesh. Shit. Not complicated.
Wrong with that. Your answer to that would be, surely, that humans are just poor judges of their own lives. Would that be correct?
Yes, I think humans are poor judges, but again, it would make a difference to me whether we were speaking about euthanasia for this person or the embryo. So if it's their life and they're happy with it and they don't want to die, I'm not going to override them and say, well, I know better than you. I think it's better for you if you die. But if somebody wants to extrapolate from their own poor judgment about themselves to the case of the child that they would produce, they want to say, well, I'm justified in creating this new being, then I think I'm going to interfere with them, but I think that they're...
Pause this first, sorry. Yeah, so the idea of making a decision for an individual, again, to save their soul, so to speak, or save them from themselves, but that decision does have to be made if the person isn't competent. So we make that decision for your pets, you make that decision for retarded people all the time. And in my opinion, those decisions are very poorly made, in the sense that the pet doesn't need to wake up the next day. It doesn't need any of that shit. All right, and all you're doing is imposing surgeries and all kinds of unpleasantness and horrors, and because you love them and you want them to be around longer, not because it's in their best interest. So the whole idea of truly acting in somebody's best interest is a little different than thinking you're acting in their best interest or wishing you were acting in their best interest. So I would argue that there's still a reality to this circumstance, that if you think somebody is mentally incompetent, you know, they're an idiot. And they just don't know what they're setting themselves up for. So if somebody argued to me that they have eternal life and they can't possibly die, all right, and so they continue living because they don't believe they'll ever die of anything, you could say they're irrational, right? And they will be subjected to some horrible death, and so you can save them from a worse fate. Yeah, so, well, whatever. But again, this is such a tangential side argument. Yes, there's absolutely no need for us to, in trying to save an ocean of water, to start worrying about the water we're sweating as we make decisions, so yeah, the little bit of salvation you can gain by taking control of idiots' lives is important. It's still real, but based on the fact that you're talking about the difference between an ocean and a glass of water, and you really can't waste time worrying about spilling the water in the glass when you're trying to dry the ocean.
Moral authority is completely different than it would be when they're speaking about their own life.
That's interesting. So you mentioned that, you wouldn't say, I'm not going to override that, deep-seated desire you have to exist by killing you, right? But you are essentially, as an antinatalist, imposing on them the idea that goes against their own belief that it is better that they had not come into existence. So you argue in Better Never to Have Been that it is just better that we don't come into existence, even though we believe that, it's good to be alive. So I guess the question would be, like, who are we as antinatalists to actually say to people who do say, which is the majority of people, no, I love the fact that I exist, I'm glad I was born. Who are we to actually say, actually...
Saying things is not a problem. So again, I'd make a clear distinction between telling somebody, I think you're a fool, okay, to invest in your existence. In my case, I can defend my stupid existence because the fact is I can probably do more alive than dead, in the sense that I kind of live for the causes. I don't really live for the fun of it. Yeah, I live for the challenge of it. All right, and the challenge is to persuade and to make a better argument, and that's my Wimbledon, so to speak, is winning the big argument. And so I can make an argument that, yeah, there's value in that because it doesn't have anything to do with just trying to eke by and be happy. Yeah. So, but otherwise, yeah, can you rationally make the argument that if I walk down the street and I silently killed some people who didn't have any family and, there wasn't going to be anybody grieving and all that kind of crap, that somehow there's a harm done? They just don't wake up one day. How are you going to equate the harm? So unless they were going to cure cancer, unless they were going to mitigate against animal suffering in some way, unless the world was going to be more less painful in the future because of their existence, it's pretty hard to argue that the world isn't better off. It's just a fact. And the fact is that the world is better off. Humans are a menace. They aren't some kind of benefit. They don't. They make more mess than they clean up. It's just a fact. They litter more than they clean. They slime and goo on things more than they wipe up. They leave lots of poo behind.
It is bad that you were born, even though you don't even think that it was.
We're just like everybody else in the relevant way. So the crucial distinction is making a moral judgment that might differ from somebody else's and then imposing your judgment on somebody else whose view differs from your own. And so I would...
And again, who's supposed to make these decisions? Blind, retarded, moronic circumstances. So no intellectual capital is supposed to be applied to the decision. The decision is just supposed to be left up to volcanoes and comets. Oh my.
I would say if somebody was born and is happy to have been born, you're mistaken to be happy that you were born. But it doesn't follow that I'm going to take them out of this world. And I'd also say to somebody that you're mistaken in having a child, or you are mistaken in wanting to have a child, without
it
following that I must now go and prevent them from having a
job. All right, so we could turn this lots of ways around, but I'm just saying there's lots of people who would say, because of their horrible death, that if they could still talk from the grave and undo the last 10 years of their life, make it disappear by you shooting them when they were 20 or something, they'd probably say, yeah, I wish you would have shot me when I was 20, because, yeah, 20 to 70 was useless, and the last 10 years were really expensive. So, yeah, I could do without that whole sloppy mess. Okay, it was really unpleasant. So, generally speaking, very unpleasant. So what testimony do you go based on? Do you go based on who gets to win the argument, the victims or the perpetrators?
That's the crucial distinction.
But who are we to say that they're mistaken? On what basis do we say that they are they're making a mistake in judging that their own life is actually good?
Who are they to say that we are mistaken about these matters? It boils down to the arguments.
There you go. That's the important part, and that's the whole point of your book, is this fact that you applied reasoning and logic, and so you cite some facts about our reality, that, you know, there is no God going to come to the rescue, there's no singularity that's going to make everything all right. I mean, these are real circumstances we're stuck in, with this being a sentient construction of evolution. We are unintelligently designed. We're designed to be nothing more than a worm. With no more character, all right, in terms of getting what it wants. And the only thing that makes this a little bit, tiny bit decent is the fact that we have to raise our children. So in some context, we actually have to be gentle and kind and giving, okay, and unselfish. But if we were egg layers or some other thing, then we wouldn't have to be any of that crap. Oh, maybe we'd have to be a little bit nice, to have sex. But other than that, we could just be malicious little selfish monsters like most of the living things on Earth.
So they can advance their arguments, and we can advance our arguments. Right. And it may be that our arguments are better than theirs, or possibly...
Yeah, well, apparently yours aren't very good, because they haven't even convinced you. So your argument's pretty bad if you haven't even convinced yourself. Oh, it's so bad.
Their arguments are better than ours. Yeah. And it's in part because we are fallible, that we could be wrong about this, that we should not impose our views.
Well, again, what are we wrong about? So why would we say it? Why would we pretend we're wrong when you're not wrong? Okay, why would you say the logic is fuzzy or unclear when it's as crystal clear as it could be? I mean, the whole Mars argument is so crystal clear that there's no way you can turn that into a tragedy. There's no way you could feel their pain of non-existence. Ooh, the horror. No horror at all. None. Yeah, there's no birthday parties either, but there's absolutely no pain and suffering. None. Zero. Zero negative. Zero. It cost nothing. Zero cost. Impose that all you want. Something that doesn't cost anything, that's what you start off with as a gift. A gift has to start off costing nothing.
Others, in a physical way, coerce them to do things, force them to do things, or not to do things. But doesn't mean you're not entitled to a view. And the better justification you have for your view, the better view it's likely to be.
Now, just going back.
All right, so now he's making an appeal to reason and logic when he said reason and logic isn't enough because you're not as good as a rock or the DNA molecule. The DNA molecule knows better than us what life should be doing on Earth. We have no business fiddling or messing or deciding or making judgments or saying we can do better. No. I mean, it's that silly. So, again, he's defeating his own argument by arguing that somehow he is his fallible reasoning, when he hasn't applied fallible reasoning. He's been deliberately and willfully careful not to fuck it up. And yet he's conceding that somehow a person can escape all his logic by just saying, you're fallible, so therefore I don't have to listen to you. Ha 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 ha.
To the wild animal stuff. One counter-argument, I guess, I've had towards the natalist vegans who say, well, actually, George, you know, your view as an anti-natalist is...
I just don't know why he's going back to that silly story. the four people who are pro-birth antinatalists. Okay, so anyway, that's just... no, I really can't do that. All right, so this we'll call this enough of a video. And so, yeah, there'll be one more, I guess. I really have to get through this. But they're all good talking points, so might as well flesh them out as I think necessary. And and such. All right, so not a single-player game, too expensive, not your money. That's the argument from consent, basically. It's not yours to impose. Play with your own welfare, not somebody else's. All right. So anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's really enough.